All right, yes. I was all ready to roll there, and no power to the board. So, yeah, we got her now. Thanks a lot, everyone, for tuning in, and welcome to the Tim in the Morning Show, broadcasting live out of the Creston Valley, 7:30 till 9 weekdays. And, of course, that's Pacific time. Oh, well, I was just outside here, and it is a little crisp. Nice looking to the north, weird looking to the south. So we're right in the middle here where it's blue skies with some high cloud. Nice looking. 8 degrees. Winds from the south at 3 kilometers an hour. Humidity sitting at 68%, and the barometric pressure is 101.4 kilopascals and rising, which is really good to see, because we are supposed to have a change in the weather here coming Thursday, where everything sunnies up. Mainly cloudy today, 40% chance of showers late this afternoon, snow level sitting at 1,500 meters now, and fog patches down at the river dissipating this morning. We're only going to go to a high of 11 degrees this morning. And I was just having a look at the webcam from up on the summit. Yes, there is not only snow on Thompson Mountain, there's also snow up top of the Kootenai Pass. It looks like it's just wet snow. The elevation there is about 7,700 feet. Anyways, as long as it stays up there for a while, which I'm sure it will. Let's see, we're going to go down to a 40% chance of showers tonight. A cool overnight with some cloud, and then tomorrow high at 10. Thursday, the sun comes back. We're going up to 14. Friday, sunny, 15. And also 15 on Saturday as well. Anyways, let's get rolling with some music here. And I think some Steve Miller's in order. Fly Like an Eagle, right here. Easy on the feedback. Yes. Fly Like an Eagle on South Kootenai Radio.
Free.
Gotta love a little sleaze rock first thing in the morning. That's the New York Dolls. Gotta get away from Tommy. And before that, we had My Morning Jacket with Remnants. 7:42, and like I said, welcome to the morning show, everybody. And I think what we're going to do is get on with this day in Canadian history right away, because I've got a couple of outstanding songs standing by, and I want to make sure I got enough time to play them before old Joe comes in here with his pursed lips and his toe tapping and that pocket protector with about, I think he's got like 14 pins in it or something. But anyways, October the 1st, oh yeah, that's right, happy October, everybody, here we go. Yes, the first story we have here is from 1988 out of Seoul, Korea, at the 24th Olympiad. Canadian super heavyweight Lennox Lewis defeats Riddick Bowe to win Canada's first Olympic boxing gold medal in 56 years. In the pool, Carolyn Waldo wins her second gold medal in synchronized swimming. I love that synchronized swimming, eh? Those facial expressions are awesome. I think it's that little nose plug they have that cuts a little bit of oxygen off to the brain or something. I'm not sure. Anyways, she is also in the duet competition with Michelle Cameron, becoming the first Canadian woman to win two gold medals at the Summer Olympic competition. Yeah. 1848 out of Toronto, Paul Kane returns from his wanderings on the prairies and Pacific coast of North America with over 700 sketches of life in the West. He starts to paint canvas of his subjects during this winter of 1848. Yeah, that's nice. What else do we have here? Oh, a couple of birthdays I can mention. James Allen, or Jimmy Pattison, businessman and entrepreneur, was born on this day in Saskatoon in 1928. Pattison was raised in Vancouver, where he built up the largest car dealership in Western Canada. And in 1967, he purchased the Claude Neon Signs, the first of his Pattison Group's over 50 acquisitions. He also managed Expo 86 World Fair, making it a great success. Right on, Jimmy. Yes. Also born on this day, Ben Wicks, cartoonist, born in London, England. And Wicks came to Canada in 1957 and started out in Calgary as a milkman and a musician in the local militia band, selling his first newspaper cartoons to the Calgary Herald. Wicks then moved to Toronto in 1966 to join the Telegram and started syndicating his cartoons, particularly his political series, The Outcasts, and his single Frame Gags. Right on. Some other events here may be of some interest. In 1992, out of Indian Brook, Nova Scotia, Reg Maloney, Mi'kmaq chief, gets the right to try native court cases on the 1,200-member reserve. Just the minor criminal cases, though, mind you, yeah. What else? In 1990, Ottawa to privatize Petro-Canada's 3,300 outlets, $6.8 billion in assets, limit foreign ownership to 25%, and no one investor to own more than 10% of the company. And, of course, back in 1986, the Honorable John Fraser, and I use that term loosely, was elected Speaker of the House of Commons after he had resigned as the minister after the tainted tuna scandal. Yeah. And get a load out of this. I don't recall this. From 1976, provincial premiers meet in Toronto, and they again fail to reach agreement on the amending formula for the B&A Act. Man, these guys, they struggled over this for ages, it seemed. I think they just wanted to get together and have a party. Yeah, anyways, I think that's enough. Let's get on to some of that good music I was telling you about. The first one here is Sweet Love is Like Oxygen, right here on South Kootenai Radio.
Unsaid. I'm gonna spend my days in bed. Music that'll blow your hair back, if you still have any, on South Kootenai Radio.
Thank you.
Crash and Burn. The Pat Travers Band there. That's the title track of their 1980 release. All right, we have time for one more quick tune here before Joe gets in for his news update. This is a little Blue Oyster Cult with some Godzilla. Did you like that one for a nice Tuesday morning? Yeah, I'll tell ya. Godzilla, that's Blue Oyster Cult. That's if you couldn't tell if the name of the song was Godzilla, by the way. Yeah. Anyways, I've got Joe standing by here to give a quick news update on the things happening in Washington, no doubt. The government has closed down. But I'll let Joe tell you everything. We'll be back 4 minutes and 30 seconds later with more great music right here on South Kootenai Radio.
It is October 1st, and this is CBC News. I'm Joe Cummings. The stalemate in Washington over Obamacare has led to the shutdown of the U.S. government. It's a partial shutdown affecting only non-essential services. But it means that more than 800,000 federal employees aren't getting paid as of today. CBC's Megan Fitzpatrick has more now from Washington.
Now that the shutdown is underway, the next big question is how long will it last and how to end it? Both sides are holding very firm in their positions. The Republicans, of course, insisting that any spending bill include provisions related to Obamacare. The Democrats won't accept anything that includes Obamacare. So at this point, both sides holding very firm. Meantime, preparations are underway to wind down government agencies that will be affected by this shutdown. Employees will be getting an email this morning telling them whether they've been deemed essential or non-essential. Those federal workers that are non-essential will be coming into their offices today to clean up their desks, shut down their computers, and go home with no paycheck. Megan Fitzpatrick, CBC News, Washington.
The closure affects a long list of federal bureaucratic offices and other government services like national parks and monuments, such as the Statue of Liberty and the Lincoln Memorial. Now, as for the larger impact of all this, most analysts agree it will be significant. And as we hear now from the CBC's Scott Peterson, it's also considered the tip of the iceberg.
The U.S. economy stands to lose about $1 billion a day in lost productivity. You have 800,000 federal workers not collecting a paycheck and probably not spending as much as they would. But the much bigger issue is October 17. If the debt ceiling, which is now at $16 trillion, if lawmakers decide that they do not want to extend the funding on that, and there's a default on all the loans outstanding and the ability for the government to raise money to pay bills, catastrophic potential. Everyone is saying that this is without precedent. The government has been shut down before. The market doesn't react positively to that, depending on the length that it's shut down. But the default on debt is something that's never been experienced by world markets.
That's the CBC's Scott Peterson in Toronto. The scandal-prone Vatican Bank is getting revamped under the new leadership of Pope Francis. Among other directives, the Vatican is looking to close all accounts held by foreign embassies. Megan Williamson reports now from Rome.
Vatican insiders say cash withdrawals of more than $10,000 occurred repeatedly in the Holy See's embassies in Iran, Iraq, and Indonesia, countries where, experts say, money laundering and illicit finances are rampant. That caught officials' attention. Since 2010, the bank, known as the Institute for Religious Works, has been slowly transforming itself from an institution long governed by secrecy to one striving to comply with international regulations. That hasn't been easy, as infighting within the Vatican and resistance by some high up in the hierarchy have posed roadblocks. But those roadblocks could be finally dismantled under Pope Francis, who's been pushing to reshape the Catholic Church into a missionary institution geared toward helping the poor. This summer, he created a special advisory commission on how to reform the bank and has not ruled out shutting its doors completely. Megan Williams, CBC News, Rome.
An attack on a U.S. military base in Afghanistan last year has led to the firing of two American generals. A Taliban attack on Camp Bastion ended in the deaths of two Marines and the destruction of several American aircraft. The military says the two generals underestimated the Taliban risk and ultimately failed to take adequate measures to stop the assault. This is a rare public reprimand, and both generals have been removed from active duty. It's being called another defeat in the global war on drugs. The University of BC and the University of California have examined more than 20 years of statistics and have found that while police seizures are on the rise, so is the availability and potency of street drugs. As well, the price for drugs such as cocaine and heroin continues to fall. And that is the CBC News to this hour. We broadcast live and podcast at our website, cbcnews.ca. I'm Joe Cohn.
Yeah, see, I told you Joe would have some interesting stuff there for you. Anyways, 8 degrees here in the Crescent Valley. Winds are fairly calm, 3 kilometers an hour from the south, which, of course, is pushing up a little bit of cloud. And we are expecting a 40% chance of showers late this afternoon, going up to a high of 11 degrees. All right, let's continue on with some music here. We've got some Bon Jovi standing by with Runaway right here on South Kootenai Radio.
On the streets where you live, lies.
Tipping and your toes tapping, cause here come the champ.
Tequila.
which are local broadcasting, such as Mountain Jam, Saturdays at 1 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, right here on South Kootenai Radio.
We got one, we got two, we got one, two, three.
Link Ray, with our theme music for this segment. And, of course, a little trivia for you. That's one of Jimmy Page's favorite guitar riffs, that one by Link Wray. Yeah. Makes the hair on the back of his neck stand up, he says. Anyways, what do we have here for October the 1st? We have a few birthdays. First one here, we go all the way back to 1934, and that's when Jeff Stevens, lead vocalist of the new Vaudeville band, was born. And, of course, their big hit, Winchester Cathedral. Yeah, you may remember that one. I seem to recall that one. Yeah. 1943, Jerry Martin was born. And, of course, Jerry, the sax player for Sly and the Family Stone. And my favorite hit by them is Dance to the Music. Especially the Woodstock version. Yeah. 1948, Mariska Verez, vocalist for the Shocking Blue. And their big hit, Venus. 1962 is the start of our useless trivia on October the 1st, and that's when Brian Epstein signs his management contract with the Beatles. John Lennon and Ringo Starr sign for themselves, and Harold Harrison and James McCartney do so on behalf of their underage sons. The agreement gives Epstein a 25% cut of the group's earning, provided that they make more than $400 each per week. Not a bad cut, but it didn't really last too long for Brian. Yeah, I forget what year he passed away. I think it was, might have been 68. Just can't remember. Anyways. Here's some interesting news for you as well. In 1965, his Bobness appears at Carnegie Hall in New York City and introduces his new touring band made up of guitarist Robbie Robertson, organist Garth Hudson, bassist Rick Danko, pianist Richard Manuel, and drummer Levon Helm. They will become known simply as The Band. 1970, Jimi Hendrix is buried in the Greenwood Cemetery at the Dunlop Baptist Church in his hometown of Seattle, Washington. His tombstone is inscribed, "Forever in Our Hearts, James Jimi Hendrix, 1942-1970. Yeah. And then 1975, 39-year-old Al Jackson, drummer for Booker T and the MGs, is shot and killed by a burglar at his home. Wow, that's tragic. 1993, Wilson Pickett is sentenced to 1 year in jail for hitting an 86-year-old man with his car while drinking. During his time in jail, he will get into a fight with another inmate, and a resulting eye injury will require a number of surgeries to repair the damage. Let's see. 1994, Eric Clapton enters the U.S. album chart at number one with From the Cradle. That's an awesome album. I love it. And 1998, CCR's John Fogerty's gets star number 1356 on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And 2008, Nick Reynolds, a founding member of the Kingston Trio who jump-started the folk music scene in the late 50s with their U.S. number one hit, Tom Dooley, died of acute respiratory disease at the age of 75. All right, as mentioned, Bob Dylan appears at Carnegie Hall on this day in 1965, introducing his new band, just simply titled The Band. Now, originally when Bob came on stage, he handled the vocals, harmonicas, and the acoustic guitar for the first 7 of 16 songs, where he was just solo. And then took a break, or That's when he decided to bring out the band and introduce them. And they played the next 8 to 16 songs. And this particular song, Ballad of a Thin Man, was song number 15 of the night. Ballad of a Thin Man. That's what we're going to listen to. Bob Dylan and the band with a Ballad of a Thin Man, starting things off in rock history.
Thank you.
wrong.
When you're at work listening to South Kootenai Radio, there's lots of dancing in your chair.
John Fogerty there with Fortunate Son, finishing off this day in rock and roll history. One of my, well, I think that is my favorite CCR song, or John Fogerty song. Anyway, so what else did we have there? We played a little bit of Eric Clapton, Blues Before Sunrise. I think that's track number one off the number one album of Clapton's From the Cradle that was released on this day, or it entered the chart at number one at on this day in 1994. And then, of course, we started off with a Bob Dylan and the Band, Ballad of a Thin Man. It was on this date in 1965 that Bob Dylan introduced the Band as his touring band. And they played at Carnegie Hall in New York City. 16 songs in total that night. And 8 of them on the last half of the show were with the band. Anyways, stay tuned again tomorrow at about 8:15. We'll have another installment of This Day in Music History for you. And I always like this segment. It's kind of fun. Okay, what we should do is have a quick look at the weather across the country here right now. And currently, as mentioned, in the Creston Valley, we're sitting at 8 degrees. We're supposed to go up to 11 with a 40% chance, or with a 40% chance of showers later this afternoon with a high of 11 degrees. Now, over in Vancouver, they have sunny conditions today. 10 degrees is their temperature. Current temperature, it's sunny and 8 degrees in Calgary. Winnipeg, sunny and 12. Toronto, sunny and 18. Halifax, well, what's it? It's sunny, cloudy, and rainy. Looks like they got a real mixed bag in Halifax today. Currently 13 degrees, and currently 22 in St. John's, Newfoundland, with a mix of sun and cloud. Okay, what do we have sitting on deck here? I'm thinking maybe some Chris Isaak, Notice the Ring. And this is from Always Got Tonight CD. This one came out in 2002, right here on South Kootenai Radio.
Is it something?
watching my baby quit me. I wouldn't even go outside. And when my friends try to fix me up, I crawl up underneath the bed and hide. I knew I was never gonna change my luck till I got my courage up enough to try. And when I went ahead and spread my wings, it's a leap of faith. Oh, yes, it is, baby. Sometimes all it takes is a leap of faith. I had no way of knowing what would come from my first kiss. It scares me now just to think about the good love I might have missed. Trying to see myself as a survivor. Well, I had to rise all up from my ashes of love, jump back into the fire. Sometimes all it takes is a leap of faith. I know you know it, honey. Sometimes all it takes is a leap of faith. Is a leap of faith.
Hey, I'm electric guitar. Yeah, Rob?
All right, let's cut that off abruptly. I love that. Delbert McClinton. And the name of that album is just Delbert McClinton Live. It came out in 2003. Nice little rocker, that one. Leap of Faith. Quarter to the hour here now. You know what that means. That's right. It's time for our artist or album highlight. And I've decided, before I decide, I guess I better let you know that Bedazzled is the sponsor of this segment. And of course, Bedazzled is the finest looking building in downtown Creston on the main drag there, and they sell everything, like, such as metal detectors, jewelry, custom jewelry, beads, anything related to gold panning, like gold panning kits, sluice boxes, the whole shebang. So if you need any of those items, get on down there. Kevin and Sandy will surely help you out, that's for sure. Yeah, for sure. Surely. Don't call me Shirley. Yeah. Anyways, what do we got here? Today we're going to be listening to an album called Before the Flood. And as mentioned, in rock and roll history, Bob Dylan introduces his touring band on this day in 1965. And here we are, 9 years later, they get together again and come out with an album called Before the Flood, the band and Bob Dylan. And this time I'm going to be featuring music of the band from this album, because Dylan had his little time in the spotlight before. Now, this one was released June the 20th, 1974, and Bob Dylan and the band both needed the celebrated reunion tour of 74. Since Dylan's fortunes had been floundering since Self-Portrait and the band stumbled on the 1971 release Cahoots, the tour, with its attendant publicity, definitely returned both artists to center stage, and it definitely succeeded, breaking box office records and earning great reviews. Before the Flood, a double album souvenir of the tour, suggests that these were generally dynamic shows, but not because they were reveling in the past, but because Dylan was fighting the nostalgia of his audience. Nostalgia, it must be noted, that was prompted as the very reason behind the shows. Yes, that's what gives this music such kick. Dylan reworks, rearranges, reinterprets these songs in many ways that are still disarming, years after its initial release. He could only have performed interpretations this radical with a group as sympathetic, knowing of his traits as the band, whose own recordings here are a real storm. Yeah. The sound of a great rocker surprising his band and his audience by tearing through his greatest songs in a manner that might not be comforting, but it guarantees it to be one of the best live albums of its time. Ever. Maybe. And of course, we're talking about all this Dylan music, and I'm going to play three songs by, that highlights the talents of the band. Yeah, we're going to start off with Shape I'm In, right here on South Kootenai Radio.
Thank you. is the heart of a lonely kid. Suffered so much for what he did. Gave this cowboy his fortune and fame. Since that day, he ain't been the same. See the man with the stage fright. Just standing up there to give it all his might. He got caught in the spotlight. But when we get to the end, he wants to start all over again. I've got fire, water, rain, and my breath. The doctor warned me I might catch a death. Said you could make it in your disguise. Just never show the fear that's in your eyes. See the man with the stage fright. Just standing up there to give it all his might. He got caught in the spotlight. But when we get to the end, he wants to start all over again. Now when he says that he's afraid, whoa, won't you take him at his word? And for the price that poor boy's paid, he gets to sing just like a bird.
That's a band and Bob Dylan from the album Before the Flood. That one came out in 1974, and of course a big reunion concert with Bob Dylan and the band taking place for those tracks, and I decided to play all music related to the band, as we featured one there of Bob Dylan on this day in rock and roll history. Anyways, stay tuned again tomorrow at about 8:45. We'll have another installment of Artist or Album Highlight for you, brought to you by Bedazzled, located at 1217 Canyon Street in downtown Creston. And that is it for today's show, everybody. We're actually 2 minutes overdue, and just wanted to let you know, on the Hot Chicken and LP show today, where we play the full albums at 12:05 and rebroadcast again at 9 p.m. We're going to be listening to Incognito, their fourth album, just simply titled Four. So have a great day, everyone, and we'll catch you all on the flip side. We're going to have a 4-minute, 30-second news update, and then we'll be back with regular broadcasting and back to our regular daily schedule right here on South Kootenai Radio.